So continuing on, false prophets. Continuing on, false prophets. Unfortunately, we got a ton of them today. Unfortunately, we accept them. And the Bible said that. I mean, the Bible says we accept them more. Because a lot of the false prophets, the reason why the prophets fits the itching ear mentality. They're there because we want to hear what they say anyway. And we kind of like their answers, if you're being honest with yourself. So we got to see that it's a pastor's job to protect his flock, and that how the shepherds are not there. We've seen how the false prophets are a major part of Satan's attack force. The consistency that we need to have, that God is against those false prophets. He made that very clear. He showed that some of them believe their own hype. They even get to the part where they will make a prophecy or say something's going to happen, and they'll wait for it just like you. And then when it crashes, they try to make some sort of excuse. So we see all of that come into play. And where we last left off is where it says God lets us know how to recognize false prophets. Correct? Okay, so God lets us know how to recognize false prophets. We see in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, he says, "Watch out for false prophets." Okay, they come to you in sheep's clothing. Now that's significant. The first part of it is, you have many Christians today that still walk by sight. Sight always implies senses. What I hear, what I see, what I feel, smell, taste, and all that. If they can hit one of your senses, and that unfortunately happens to a lot of us, and they get you through that, they got you. And that's why God says, I don't look at man like men do. I look at the heart. You guys look at outside appearances. So they come in sheep's, and I love how he put it, they come to you in sheep's clothing. So in other words, they're covered as a sheep, but they're not a sheep. Okay, they're wearing the clothes to look like a sheep, but if you knew them inwardly, then you would understand them. He says, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They are not just wolves, they're ferocious. So they're looking for something to devour. So they're looking like sheep to kind of get into you, and then they want to tear you apart. It says, but now he gives us how we can recognize them. Verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now, the reason why we struggle on this is because we do this every year. People sit on grass fruit, and we don't check ourselves for fruit. Do you know what I mean? We kind of are more humanly accepting than spiritually aware. And that's what's hurting us. You know, if we're spiritually aware, we'd recognize and we'd see, wait a minute, there's a problem. But because we're more humanly accepting, we're more prone to take what we see and go, well, they mean well. Well, that sounds good. Well, I like the way they look. Y'all got where I'm coming from. You know what I mean? As long as they can present themselves. He says, by their fruit you will recognize them. And then he makes clear. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistle? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, what can we say in 18? In other words, God adds a fail-safe here. Watch this. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, the importance in that is to let you know, you can't look at somebody and say, they're producing good fruit. You first have to know what fruit is, which hopefully everybody grasps by now, and you should be able to see it. And what it is what you display. This doesn't mean they won't ever fall every once in a while. It'll be the thing that defines them. Does that make sense? So when we go through the acts of the sinful nature, it'll be something that defines them. You won't say that person got angry last week. You'll go, that's an angry person. You won't say that person had a problem with lust on that day. It's a lustful person. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Okay? Jealous person. Envious person. It'll be something that displays them. It'll be what they are. It will define them. And that's what he means. So you're watching them, but he's saying, so if they are truly a Christian, or if they won't bear the other fruit. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? And now please understand this. Let's say a Christian. Christian can't have a problem with something, but when you see them having a problem and they're trying to fix it, they're not being that. They're trying to fight that. That there's a big difference on that. Okay, keep that in mind. Okay, as the Bible tells it. But when somebody is fully accepting of it, that's why 1 Corinthians 5:9 tells us, if you see a brother who is, and it gives all these acts of the sinful nature, and it says, do not eat with them, you know, after you let them know. He said, they call himself a brother, but they're still that, because they are. They fully accept this thing, but it's letting them know, you do know you're not a Christian. And that's a very dangerous place to be. But that's how we know our leaders. So a big part of it is a judgment, but not a judgment based off of us. It's an assessment based off of God. Our fruit is our calling card. The reason why we struggle today, like I said, is because we really haven't embraced fruit. We embraced humans' version. We'll take man's version of respect. We respect people who are not respectful. Do you understand? And disrespect people that should be respected. You know, I've seen a minister that was very humble, but he wasn't as charismatic as his other preacher. Man, people loved his other preacher. And his other preacher, they would call him a man of God, the anointed one, all this other stuff. But as I know fruit, man, the one that everybody loved, he had his fruit was bad. Based on, it would struggle. The humble one, because he wasn't as glamorous, as you know, showy, as attractive. Do you understand that? They weren't drawn to him. Do you get that? And they missed it. And he was the one that I think was given the word compared to this other one that I'm like, this is obvious. But they would, just keep praying for. They would keep giving them excuses because he was a very charismatic speaker. You heard him speak. It made you feel a certain way. Does that make sense? He was a good motivational speaker. But that's what we have to be careful of. So that's what it means when it says you'll know them by their fruit. And he says, what will happen to that group? So that's how he knows this. Now, when we go down to this next section, there's two major chapters in the Bible that go over the characteristics of false prophets. I'm going to read both of them, and then we're going to go down under. And what it does is it shows us their, I'm going to break down, you know, because some of it was repeated, and some of it's repeated, and we'll break down what each of them says. What they are. So let's read the first one. And 2 Peter 2, verse 1. And it's actually 2 Peter 2. All of it talks about these false prophets. Starts off in verse 1. But there was also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Do you understand? So, and that's why I'm using false teachers and prophets, because they're same in the same boat. He's saying they're going to be there as there was then. He says they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. So in other words, they will bring in, and this is where I always tell people, careful, if you can't find it in the Bible, don't go with it. And I still see, there's books written, there's things we're doing that people will blame on God until you go, so where's it at in the Bible? Do y'all get this? How we're distorting marriage, distorting ministry, distorting how we do in politics, how we do in certain things, you know what I mean? They'll say things, and the people will go, well, where's that in the Bible? You understand? And you won't be able to find it because they introduced them. People liked what they heard and they brought this stuff in. It says, even denying the sovereign Lord. There are some who run churches denying Christ. I told you there was a person who made the comment, I love God, I'm a Christian, I just don't believe in Jesus. And people accepted that. While people don't realize without Jesus, you have nothing. You're doomed. It's Jesus that made it possible. But you have churches out there that deny him, and others deny him by denying his word. They'll, even though they'll say Jesus, they allow stuff in their service, in their church, that are against him. Do you understand that? Which automatically shows that they're against him. It's in denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. It says bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their sinful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. And basically, they're going to, what we just talked about on what's happening with those ministers down there. In other words, they're supposed to be the truth. Do you understand? But they're doing something that the world's looking at going, y'all no different than a bunch of con men. You know, when it works out for you, you're all for it. I'm going to support it. We'll go ahead and forgive. When it's going against you, man, you're all about it. Man, you come down on like a storm. That's not good. We got to be consistent, and we got to do. And that's why I'm saying people take the Bible because of us. It says in their greed, and this is a problem. This is usually what they're driving force. And we made churches become more organizations than we have churches. This is supposed to be feeding centers and not organizations. So these teachers will exploit you with stories. Watch this. They have made up. So how they get you is they'll always have this mysterious, let me tell you what God did for me. And it'll be this magical, wow story until you go, how come I never seen it happen to you? Let alone not me. How come I never seen this magical, you know what I mean? There's one who used to talk about healing. and the stuff he did and raising the dead and all this, nobody seen it. Now he had a group of people that followed behind him that said they did, until you got two or three that left and said, no, we were told we were part of his group, and they said it was good for the ministry. I don't know if you remember when Benny Hinn was on 2020, and that same thing happened where people said, we were told to say it, but that's good for the ministry is what his answer would be. You know what I mean? Certain people that were hired to play sick so he can act like they're, and this was, I mean, clear on TV and he knew about it, but he said, so they exploit you with stories, because when people watch it, they're going to give a lot of money. Because on that same story, there was a family who put their house up to get $10,000 to put in. They said, you'll get a better chance of getting called the more money you put in. So they put $10,000 in, did not get called. Daughter was basically a vegetable, and they had her up on a bed and they're holding her up, nothing. And it was very sad. But unfortunately, this is what happens. In their greed, they exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. But God's saying, oh, don't worry, they're going to get theirs. You don't want to think about what's going to happen to this group of people that do this. Just put it that way, okay? It says their destruction has been sleeping, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into a gloomy dungeon to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by filthy lives of lawless men, for the righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, now watch this. He breaks this down in two things. The Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. Why is that significant? Sometimes when you do right and you're amongst people that do wrong and it seems like they're getting rewarded, don't it make you go, then why am I being right? Right? What he's saying is if you truly trust in God, you're going to go, I have to answer to God, so do they. Y'all get where I'm going with this? And it's saying, God's saying, I know what I'm doing on this. Do you understand that? So it's not for me to go, this bad person needs to be punished, I'm going to be the punisher, or since they're doing bad and you're not doing anything bad to them, God, then I'm going to start doing bad. You understand that? True trust in God and knowing God's sovereignty, he's saying, oh, I know what I'm doing. Or I fully know what I'm doing. And that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, the ones who are wicked, they will pay. The ones who are righteous, they will be rewarded. Do you understand this? So don't fool yourself by what you see. Because trusting in God is a full faith thing. If not, how many of us right now say, I'm watching people who are doing what they're supposed to, and it seems like they're always getting burned. Right? And I see people who are the most wicked people, and man, nothing happens to them. Absolutely nothing. And, you know, they don't go to jail for the things that they did. We know they did wrong. But God's saying he's going to take that. That's why he says, and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. So there's a punishment. It says, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. Did you watch that? He's saying especially true of those who follow the desires of the sinful nature. That's basically when I follow what I rather me instead of walking by faith. He's saying, and despise authority. I don't want nobody telling me what to do, including God. That's when people have that mentality. He's saying, if this group is even the extra group, they basically are, they know it, and they're saying, but I choose to follow what I want, and I follow my own beat. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? Okay, it says, then he gives more characteristics, and we'll read through these, and we'll break them down later. Bold and arrogant these men are, not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. Like you'll hear people say, I went to Satan, I said Satan. And then you hear them talk bad stuff about Satan because they know they got authority. What authority means is permission from God. When you hear them do it, they usually do it based on their version of permission, not on God's version. Like he said, even the angels who are stronger than us, who actually are at the same level in strength as Satan, still didn't speak to Satan in that way. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, here we are weaker than Satan, not even close as strong as Satan. We have authority, but our authority is to do what God says. That's why he says, the Lord rebuke you. Now, I told Satan to get off my face. I told, you know, that all sounds good, gets people hyped. But I'm sitting there going, where did I tell you to do that? Do you understand that? You understand? Where did I give you permission to go that far? And you took it upon yourself to overdo it. right? And it's a very common practice today. Nowhere does God say that, okay? It says, look what he says, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such things in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme, watch this, in matters they do not understand. What does that mean? It means, so I'm dealing with Satan. We only know what God tells us about Satan, right? So you deal with him the way God tells you to deal with him. Does that make sense? In other words, if I don't understand it, I only deal with it with the instruction God gives me. Right now, who rules? Us or the lions on this world? No, lions don't rule. Come on, yeah. Who? Us or the lions? We rule. Right now. But if a lion was walking down the street, can you just go out there and say, come here, lion, you want to go back to your cage? You better get back to your cage. Let me come out there. Which y'all say, yes, exactly. I ain't saying, nope, I wouldn't do that, right? However, we rule. But now, smart way, we have access to getting a net, getting a cage, getting a dart gun. We have ways of catching a lion. And then, like right now, you don't go to the jungle and see people in cages with lions. But you can go to a zoo and see lions in cages from people. You understand that? Because we rule. However, there's a way to do it. Do you understand that? In the same way, what he's saying is, when we go after Satan in a way that we don't understand, we're hurting ourselves. He says, they are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. In other words, reacting off our instinct, I went and I cursed them out. God's like, I didn't tell you to go curse them out. Do y'all get this? Remember we did spiritual warfare, and I got to do it again so y'all understand it. He gives specific instruction on how to deal with spiritual warfare. More and more I watch Christians do things in a more emotional, hyped way, but ignorant. And I told you, y'all hear me say, use the same story. A lion, or they saw this baby lion, it was, you know, in between more of a teenager lion, was a meat eater. I'm going to catch some meat. Saw this animal, looked like meat. Went and attacked it. It was a porcupine. Now, of course, not only didn't it eat, when they showed it, it had spine, you know, all in it. And the thing about it is, being out in Africa, it can't go and get antibiotics. And the man said, this lion's going to die. They said, all those will get infected. This lion's going to die. Not only didn't he eat, now his life is ended. Do you understand that? By being ignorant. Now, who's bigger and stronger? The lion is. Do you understand that? But the lion was ignorant on how am I supposed to catch this animal? Do y'all get this? So in the same way when dealing with Satan, go to the Bible. You understand that? Even Jesus, how did he fight him? And Jesus, we know, is the most powerful at all because he's God, even in the flesh. And he went, it is written. He just used the word. Here we go. Once again, we use ignorance. And we battle based on ourselves, not based on God. Okay? So we have to do it based on what God says, not based on what we think. And that's why he says in verse 13, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. We'll talk about that some more. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasure while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. We're going to talk about all that. And a cursed broad. It says, a brood. It says, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech. We're going to break these down, why he used these examples. Okay, so he said Balaam first, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. We know that's in the book of Numbers. These are the springs without water, mists driven by a storm. The blackest, darkest darkness is reserved for them. That's another time in the Bible where it shows the worst sin is false teaching. One of the worst, he's saying, one of the worst punishments in hell, it's going to be done to false teachers, false teachings. God does not take that light at all. That's why he says the dark, blackest darkness is reserved. He's not going to go, well, amen, well, I'm proud that they worked. God's going to go, wait, wait, my word is sacred. Like I said, I think the most humble, and he was the most common as one of the humble men of all, was Moses. However, being a leader, you understand that he took God's word, misused it, and how he got punished. You would say, how come Israel didn't get that kind of punishment? You know what I mean? They really messed up. They deserved the punishment. I think all of us would have been let him go. God's like, this is my word. There's no way you take something sacred and you destroy it. And that's what we tend to do. And that's why he says, the blackest darkness is reserved for them. It says, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature. Now, here's the deal. Today, we've allowed ourselves to be comfortable enough to to preach based on what people want and not based on God's word. We have less preaching on God's will and a whole lot less preaching on God's will and a whole lot of preaching on what you desire. Does that make sense? Okay, and that's where we fail in both cases. Okay, sounds good. Couldn't get it. Okay, praise God. So do you understand that? All right. So it's letting us understand that for they mouth empty boastful words by appealing. And that's, so in other words, you can usually tell a false one because they're catering to the wrong thing, not to God. They're not here to serve God. They're here to get members. They're not here to serve God. They're here to make money. They're not here to serve God. They're here to make you happy. Like I said, they're usually glorified motivational speakers. Okay. Very dangerous because you'll like what you hear. It makes you feel good. Remember, ministry is not to make you feel good, it's to make you be good. Now, make you be good is not always feeling good. And that's where we kind of fall into this. It says, now watch this in verse 18. It says, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desire of sinful nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. In other words, you get these ministers that will condemn, talk bad, and you're looking at them going, are you serious? Do you understand that? Once again, you know them by their fruit. You'll get them that will condemn people, and they're doing the same, if not worse. They'll promise you, man, if you just follow what I tell you, you'll get this, this, and this, and you'll sit there. You understand that, okay? They'll counsel you on your marriage while their marriage is being destroyed. They'll counsel you on raising your children while they're... You see where I'm going with this, okay? And the key to it is, that's what it says, they're telling you something while they themselves are struggling. Does that make sense? Okay, in a way of, and I'm not talking about, because we are supposed to still tell each other things, but they'll do it with a form of authority, of I got it all figured out. If you came to me, I'd give you the answer. While you're watching them, you're going, but I see your ship sinking. And you're telling me how to row my boat? You understand that, okay? And we have a major problem with that. It says, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Plain and simple, watch a person, whatever he lives for, that's his master. He can call himself a Christian as much as he wants. But whatever you see is his purpose, is his master. It says, if they escape the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were in the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was once passed on. Once again, that command always kind of opened up my eyes to, if it was me just getting saved and I'm stuck there, why would he put that there? Why would it have been better for me not to have known it? Because what they're saying is, if you get saved, you can never lose it. So wouldn't it have been better for me to be saved even if I turn my back because I can't lose it? He's saying, oh no, you turn your back, it was better off for you not to have accepted in the first place. Do y'all get this? Okay. And it says, of them the proverb is true, a dog returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. It's basically, you were always that. Even when you accepted God, you never really fully accepted him. But you did it in a way that's putting you in danger. So we see that in 1 Peter, and we're going to break a lot of those down. But we're going to go through Jude 3. Okay, Jude 3 through 21. Jude being that one, just one book. These are just all the verses of Jude. Think of it, all of it as Jude 1. So it starts off in there. And you're going to see a lot of similarities. And he put these chapters to warn us. So we have these. So we're going to read through that. And then, we'll go through each individual thing. He says in 3 verse 1, even though it says 3 up there, it should be 1. It says, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. I guess it was verse 3. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's 3:21. Sorry about that. It says, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. So he's already letting you know they're there. Okay? These are people that have come up and they'll tell you they have degrees, they'll tell you of all this stuff, and you'll trust in them based not on what God says trust them, you're trusting them based on humanly things. You'll like the way they talk. They'll show you their degrees. They'll show you things they've done. They'll tell you they traveled the world. They say, I read all these books. They'll give you stuff that humans find respectful, not what God said is respectful. Do you get where I'm coming from? Okay? They'll give you all this stuff and you'll get pulled in by that stuff, not by godliness. Okay? If you took half the disciples and the apostles, you would not have followed them. People today. Because you would have seen most of them as just a doggone fisherman. Well, you don't have anything. Everybody would have probably followed Paul. Do you get where I'm coming from? Okay? Maybe Luke. You understand? The rest of them, you know, Peter's a fisherman. You go down the list, the rest of them were just these regular blue-collar, uneducated people. But that's the ones God chose. Do you understand? But today, people are going, this guy's educated. We make sure we see all. You see my education. You see how I am. And that becomes a problem. Not saying education is wrong, but sometimes that's what will make what defines us. And that becomes dangerous. He says they are, watch this, godless men who change the grace of our God into a license of immorality. And that's very common in today's grace, in which they'll say, you can basically do anything you want because you can't be unsaved. Think about it. It's not what they do with grace. They're saying, because of God's grace, you're saved, you can't lose it. And this verse is saying, this is what they're teaching. Because these people are living in certain lifestyles and stuff, and they're telling them, well, as long as you accept the Christ, you're fine. And you just shouldn't live that way. It would be nice if you didn't do that. But, and why he's saying, it gives them a license to think, well, I accepted Christ, so I'm set. It says, and deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Lord. It says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels do not keep their position of authority, but abandon their own home. You see how this is repeating what we just went over in 1 Peter? It says, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversions. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies. Now, first of all, when it says these dreamers pollute their own bodies, they'll do things that God never told them to do in the name of God. You got where I'm coming from? They'll take stuff, they'll eat stuff, they'll do rituals, nothing to do with God. Call it spiritual. We'll call them spiritual. You got where I'm coming from? They'll eat certain things and call it a God food. They'll do certain routines and say it's a God routine. And you'll go, where's that in the Bible? Do you understand? Fasting is something God tells us to do, but how they fast will be a different way, unlike what the Bible says. We'll take different things and really use them in the wrong way. It says they reject authority and slander celestial beings. We just talked about that. Like I said, we'll go over that again. And he gave an example here of what we're supposed to do. It says, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring slanderous accusations against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And why is it using him? Because once again, they were both angels at one time. Do you understand this? And it's saying Michael, who's still an angel, same strength and everything, they could have fought, but a fair fight. He still, through humility in God, said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't go, come over here and say that. Do you understand that? Now, Michael, he had room to do that. We have no room to do that. We in ourselves don't have the strength to attack Satan. We have authority over him based on Christ. Authority means check with him and do it his way. Okay, and that's why he uses this in verse 10. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. That's what scares me when I hear people speak in spiritual ways without using God's guidance. Because he's saying they speak in ways that they do not understand. And what things they do not understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. And that's exactly what happens. We get a lot of people that speak spiritually and have no idea what that means. We'll use things wrong based on God. And like I said, that's where Satan in has. We just open ourselves wide open. Because we're not trusting in God when you do that. Does that make sense? Okay? Very important. He says, woe to them. Remember that woe. When you see woe, you don't want that in front of anything concerning you. Never, ever. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have destroyed Korah's rebellion. We'll go over that in a little bit. Okay. It says, these men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. Now, right now, this is, once again, explaining their characteristics. They're blemishes at your love feast. See, love feast is supposed to represent our love for God. But because of them, once again, going over a lot of these people that call themselves ministers today, blemishes. Remember, because usually when they got an animal of a sacrifice or whatever, it had to be without blemish. A blemish is a mark or a scar or whatever. And it's saying these people, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be a light of the world. And here are these people who do things that make the world go, oh, you're a Christian? That's what it means, blemishes at your love feast. When people see Christians, it should be this wow. And you're going, I know this person. I've seen that person. And they're blemishes. Eating with you without the slightest qualm. In other words, they'll They'll sit with you like nothing's going. You can be struggling at something, like, because they're concerned about their own lives. You understand? They don't care about your problems, what you're dealing with. That's why then it goes to shepherds who feed only themselves. That's like me getting up here going, I'm just preaching to make the money. I could care less if y'all get it or not. But make sure y'all pay me. You see what I'm saying? I'm getting fed. I make sure. They are clouds without rain. Now, why is he using clouds without rain? What's the purpose of the cloud? To produce rain. Other than that, worthless. In fact, it gets in the way of the sun. Right? You're like, it's worthless. You're like, why are you there? Just, if you're not going to give me rain, go away. You know, just be there. It says, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted. Once again, what's a tree for? In that sense, it's supposed to produce fruit. And it's saying, not only is it, like an autumn tree, so it don't even have, as an autumn tree, it's without leaves, and it's uprooted. So it's not going to grow anything. It's basically worthless. It's going to die. Twice dead. Twice dead, why? Autumn, you know, they usually die, but now it's dug up too, so it's dead. In other words, worthless. They are wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame, wandering, foaming up the shame. You know, why? Those are more dangerous. I can't row a boat on it. They're more dangerous than they are helpful. You understand that? Wandering stars from whom, here we go again, blackest darkness has been reserved. How long? Forever. So they're doomed. They are in a very dangerous, dangerous place, okay? It says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. He says, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone, to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These men are grumblers and fault finders. Very important. That's a quality to keep in mind. They're just looking for things to complain about. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Their ministry is to just tell you how wrong you are. Grumbler, they complain and always find the problems. Complain and always, that's their ministry. Complain and always find the problem. They follow their, watch this, own evil. You'll hear them make rules, have nothing to do with the Bible, but it's what they want. You understand that? It'll be, this is my church, so from now on, y'all can't wear this color, and y'all can't do, I start making rules, because that's what I want, follow my own desires. They boast about themselves, and flatter others for their own advantage. So only people I'll be nice to are the ones I know I'm going to get something from. You understand that? Alright? But I want to make sure you know I'm the man. That's, maybe you will know, I'm the man. Okay? And that's how they do it. It says, but dear friends, remember that the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold, they said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are men who divide you. And that's exactly what we allow. That's why denominations, different groups, even within the church, we let people who tell these things, simply all we got to do is check the Bible. It's all we got to do. And we don't. Why? We're going to be talking about that in the future sermons coming up. Who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So they'll say things. Now watch this. Mere natural instincts. They'll say things that make what? Make sense. No, it will make sense. You'll go, wow, I never thought of it that way. I always cringe when I hear a Christian hear somebody and they'll say, I never thought of it. Stop. And then they ask you to think. Check it. Please stop trying to convince yourself. Stop trying to logically get it. Make sure it's spiritually right. That's why it says they follow mere natural instinct, but do not have the Spirit. You get these that will give these speeches, and they'll say something. You'll go, wow. Instead of going, no, that's not what the Bible says. Do you understand that? Please be very careful. Very common practice. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in the most holy faith. Just like I said, it has to be in the Word. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That does not mean tongues. People always make that mistake. What it means is pray using the Spirit of God, not your emotions. You understand that? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So we see this whole entire, these two things, and if certain things that they repeated, we're going to go over each of these. First of all, very important, godless men. Godless men. So they'll have a form of authority. They'll probably be very educated. They'll actually be charismatic. They'll be very attractive. You understand? They'll have all these human qualities. Except for God. You won't see God in them. Now, if you're walking by emotions, if you're walking physically, if you're walking by logic, they got you. You're walking by the Spirit, you'll sit there and you'll look and go, I'm struggling. I heard everything they said, can't find it. If you're walking by those other things, you'll be impressed, you'll be enticed. Why? Because they're touching the senses, not the Spirit. Does everybody get that? Very, so it's a very big part. Godless. The key is godless. God is the Word. God's going to be presented by the word. You won't see that. They'll say stuff that'll feel good, sound good, but not be of God. They follow natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. They're making it very clear. Oh, they're not led by the Holy Spirit. They follow. Once again, common sense. These people are excellent common sense. I mean, it's like you might as well watch Dr. Phil. He'll give you stuff that people go, wow, he said something brilliant. He said something good. No, it's not godly, so it's wrong. Plain and simple. If it's not of God, it's wrong. How do I know it's wrong when it's not of God? How do I know it can't just be another suggestion? How do I know it's wrong when it's not of God? Not in the Bible, but how do I know that's wrong? Huh? Check the word, but how do I know that's wrong? How do I know the word is just not, something that I'm, by faith, but what in faith lets me know that is it, that I know that they're not wrong. That they're wrong, I'm sorry, if they're not speaking from the word. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the keyword, the truth. See, here's the deal. If he just said, I'm a way, that means they can read from all these other, books, and they can be another truth, right? And that's what these other religions are trying to teach. Well, okay, you're Christianity. I respect you. I'm a Buddha. Respect me. And I'm this. Respect me. And now we have all these respect me. Jesus is like, no, no, no. There's only one way to get to the Father, and I'm it. So anytime somebody gives me advice, if I don't see it fully based on this, wrong. How many times have we heard that, and we still listen to people and go, I never thought of it that way. Blows your mind, but you still hear Christians do it. And that's what he's saying. They follow mere natural instinct. And how are they so successful? Because we do too. Spiritually, I'm going, I heard you. I wrote everything you said down. I'm going to check it. The order of my steps is going to be fully on how to be fed. So keep stay tuned for that. They secretly introduce destructive doctrine. Okay, so they don't just come out and say, hey, y'all, this is not in the Bible. This is what we're going to do. They don't do it that way. What they do is slowly at times, or they present it at the right time, or they start presenting it to people that agree and let it spread. And he started doing things. I told you the minister who got in front of his church and told a story about his son came to him, and he noticed there was a separation between him and his son. They were becoming distant. They were real close when they were younger. And then his son told him that he was living an alternative lifestyle and he wanted to marry another man. And he said, but I love my son and I didn't want to separate that. So he changed his viewpoint. And the church was like, aw. Do y'all get this? Now, how he hit the church was this story. And it seemed like passion, compassion, and love, not based on God's word. Y'all see the problem? That's a very common story right there, okay? That guy was on TV, I remember. Now he's traveling around the world for their rights. Now, I'm not saying we should bash him like others have done on the other, because the hate part is wrong, dead wrong. Anybody who participates in that is wrong, and you're just as bad as the ones who participate in accepting the lifestyle. The point of it is secretly introduce destructive doctrine. God says, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:6, he says, this group will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So if I'm endorsing them, going to hell. Do you understand it? Okay? So this is what happens when you secretly, they'll do it in a way that you won't realize now we're following something that we didn't check. Every rule your church does, you need to make sure it's in the Bible. I know when the board, we try to do things out in our bylaws based on the Bible. We have some things that we like to add, but we're like, if I can't support it by the Bible, it can't be in the bylaws as much as we can. Okay? They deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Now, like I said, there are some that blatantly don't have Jesus in their thing. Okay? So we know they're wrong. Other ones will deny him by denying who he is. Remember how Satan kept going, if you really are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God. So we know the groups like Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons deny his deity. They kind of say he was a created being that was put in a certain thing, and like all the rest of us, he's a son. That's why we immediately go, okay, we can't follow them. Y'all understand that? They're how they put the deed, that's how it showed us about, and to test all spirits, as we'll see later. So we understand that. So they'll either take his identity and twist that. And that's what those two are very guilty of. Okay? The Jehovah's Witnesses say he was Michael that was transformed. And now he became Jesus. And they call him son. Okay, now that's a problem, because you even see in Psalms, it says, where did you ever see him call an angel a son? Do you understand it? But they're distorting it, the whole thing. So that's wrong. The Mormons say Satan and Jesus were brothers, and they go through a whole different twisted thing, and we're going to be brothers of it, and we're going to own the world. I mean, their whole thing of Jesus and lack of deity is there as well. But they make him a separate being of God. They say he's another god. Jesus is God. He is a god. You know what I mean? You have a lot of the cults that come out with that mentality of there is God. The Trinity is not three that are one. They say the Trinity are three. Actually, they say the Trinity is two. They'll say God is God, Jesus is a God, and the Holy Spirit is not a being. It is a power of God. Okay, so they distort that. So that's how they'll deny Jesus. So they'll blatantly do it, or they'll take away certain things that describe Jesus. They bring the way of truth into disgrace. So once again, I'll go out and say I'm a Christian, but you'll watch the things I support, the things I do. Do you understand it? Like I said, in the same way I had to struggle, because as much as I may have liked him as a person, I remember my sisters, they gave me a hard time on it, and I understood it. When I remember Barack Obama was running, they were like, he's the first black president, you got to support. And I didn't. I said, I can't. I said, because he doesn't fully follow the Bible. I said, I cannot do it. If I would have done it, and the stuff he did wrong, I made acceptance with it. It's the same way when you vote for any of these presidents or anything like that. You can twist it any way you want. We're putting the way of truth. Because remember, now we're calling ourselves truth, but we're accepting false. Did y'all get that? If I would have done it and he passed a lot of these laws that were wrong, same way with Trump, same way with Bush, same way with Clinton, same way with Nixon, same way with Reagan, all of them. There has never been one. So when I support them, I'm supporting their rights as long as they're wrongs. Do y'all get that? And people look at you and, so you support truth? So which is it? And we put it in disgrace. That's one way of doing it. Another way is, here I am being this Christian, but you see me out there doing what the rest of the world. I get this drunk the rest of the world, get the high the rest of the world, sleep around like the rest of the world. Everything I do, no different than the rest of the world. And people see it. Right? You understand it? This is what this group does. They're very common in having accepted sin. And they give you an excuse. And they want you to accept it. So they bring the way of truth into disregard. I'm disgraced. In which people are kind of, and like I said, I get to see it firsthand when people are watching certain things we see on TV and they're like, see? You know what I mean? It makes ministry hard because they're just like, I knew it. And they are right, unfortunately, because they're seeing exactly that. They are experts in greed and they rush to profit. One of the worst things, but I understand why I did it. If the government start hitting the Christian community, they make a lot of money, but right now you don't get taxed for the most part as in a church organization, a nonprofit. You understand? So it's a way of getting into it and make a lot of money. So they learn all the loopholes and way to make tons of money that they are not held accountable for. Do y'all get this? Tons of money. A lot. And when it says experts in greed, they know how to get more money. You get these ministers that are bragging about their Learjets and how this Learjet's getting old and I need another Learjet. So give me some more money so I can get another Learjet. You know where I'm coming from? Where their buildings are so extravagant, but they got people in the church that are struggling to eat. Do you understand that? Where their suits may cost more than some people's houses. And it's something that's unacceptable. Based on God, when he says experts in greed, man, they have abundance. Do you understand that? But they're not giving what God says. It's very dangerous. Rush to profit. When it says rush to profit, you'll see them give up God to follow money. It's like somebody coming in here saying, we're going to start giving you $100,000 a week, Pastor, but we ask you one thing. Don't ever go over the book of Jude. As long as you don't do that book, do all the other books in the Bible, you're good. And I may say, well, hey, that's all the rest of the Bible, and I'm getting $100,000. I'm basically saying, I'm denying God. If I get rid of any of it. Y'all see where I'm going with this? And that's all they do. They'll take just a piece. Because we're supposed to follow things by what? Sound doctrine. We'll do this last one and we'll close. And they exploit you with stories they have made up. And like I said, you go there and you hear these stories and they're fantastic until you go, how come none of us ever seen? You understand? I'm just curious. And this thing that you're selling me that you want me to put more money in the trade and how you just went and all this stuff happened to you. How come none of us ever seen it happen to you at all? And I'm not saying all of them are false. I'm saying so many of them are false. It hurts the ones that are really true. Do y'all get this? It hurts the ones that are really, because one, you know what I mean? And that's the fact. And the ones who are false are the ones who will tell the story. And you're just, until you sit back and go, I'm sorry. You know, I haven't seen it in you. And it's people struggle. And or people get frustrated because they're like, why you? Do you understand that? Okay? When they miss it. So we have to be careful of that. We're going to go over the rest of these. So we'll start on that. The bold and arrogant is a very important one. So God willing, we will get on that next week. Any questions? Absolutely. You can ask a question that's not on the... somebody get a, oh, you have a mic.
What about the Virginia? They ruled that they can carry guns in the churches now.
That's okay. It's not wrong with guns. It's wrong with people that have the guns. A lot of rules and laws we do are maybe not wise. Do you understand that? And if they're doing it, once again, if the churches themselves are looking at the guns to protect them, they missed it. It's just like when I look at my job to be my provider. See, you know, my God is my provider. My job is just a resource he uses. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, owning a gun, just like owning another weapon. Remember, disciples had swords. So it's not wrong to have a weapon. Do you understand that? May it be unwise? Probably. It probably be, but that's not a sin. You know what I mean? It's just that hopefully the pastors down there recognize. Now, I understand, like I said, when that shooting happened, nobody did anything wrong. It was one of those time and chance things that happened, and God allowed it. Do you understand that? Whatever reason he did, they were in church like they were supposed to. Do you got where I'm coming from? And whatever happened, happened. You know, and then we got to leave it at that. But yeah, so I wouldn't... Once again, certain laws and certain things that are done by the world are unwise. We as churches, that's why I'm responsible for, there's going to be a bunch of laws passed in Pennsylvania. I can't go, well, since this is the law, this is what we're going to do. Do you understand that? I have to do what's best interest based on God as a shepherd for the flock that he placed under my care. So I'm not going to say right or wrong on that. I can't say if I agree or disagree because that would be my opinion, but nothing in the Bible against it. Make sense? Yeah, keep that, understand, nothing wrong with guns, okay? Everything wrong with a person shooting somebody. You got to answer for that. Okay, keep that in mind. Self-defense, maybe. You're fine in self-defense. But other cases, amen? Okay, so you better be careful on that. Other questions? All right. Let us pray.